Well, thank you, Jennifer, for recording the Wood Sign this morning, and welcome everybody to today's department head discussion. Dave Brard, are you on this morning?
Yes, I am, Matt.
Okay, great. And I think we'll just kind of bounce back and forth. We have, I think, five brief topics and an opportunity for area extension directors and department heads to ask questions of us. But Dave, you want to start things off?
Sure, Matt. So the first piece is we recognize and acknowledge the hard work that county department heads have done trying to help us through this transition into the new model. And it's because of solid work and your relationships with the committees and the county administrators and others that were able to have these.
Dave, this is Mary Wood. It's really hard to hear you. I don't know if there's anything that can be done.
Your connection is choppy, Dave.
Thank you. I'll try to step by. I'm on speaker in West Regional Office. Pick up and use the handset.
Is this better?
That is.
Much.
Thank you, Mary, for that. So anyway, we recognize the hard work that departments have done and the tough budget discussions that they're having with their committees and the leadership that you've shown, and it's because of your relationships that we're able to keep moving through the new model. And so Matt and I really wanted to extend our gratitude to all the department heads and in working with the area extension directors, all the area extension directors for the heavy lift that you've been doing over the last few months. Matt?
Yeah, I'd build on that, just saying that we've made some very positive progress with budgeting. There's still much uncertainty around what the final budgets are going to look like, I think, until they're approved in November. But still, many good conversations and a lot of different options and discussions of or options have been put on the table in terms of staffing or strategies and things like that. So again, thank you to all the department heads and area extension directors as well as you're doing that combined lift together. The area extension directors talking about the process and the mentoring that you as department heads have done through that. Okay, Dave, do you want to touch on the memorandum of understanding?
Sure. Matt and I had meetings this past week, one around the contracts and how we're still working on actually what the contract for 2018 will look like. But we had discussions with Mark Dorn and others about how those might get rolled out. And while we understand that counties may not be able to sign their contracts because they haven't approved their budgets until November, we're hoping that those actual contracts can be at least shared with committees beginning late September, maybe early October, and committees can see what the contract looks like and have some time to absorb it before they ultimately have to sign. The second piece along with that, and we're uncertain how this is going to roll out, of whether the MOU and the contract will be kind of going together or maybe one precedes the other. But Matt and I have a meeting. There's been a draft MOU, and Matt and I have both run it by a few county administrators for their feedback. We have a meeting scheduled next Tuesday to refine the MOU, and the first one will be kind of a one-year MOU, and we'll learn from the process as we discuss with counties the reaction to it, either positive or negative. So, Matt, anything to add on the contracts or MOUs or timing on that?
No, I don't think so. We did pilot it with a couple counties, so we received that feedback. We'll be, again, this in the near future, meeting again to try to incorporate that feedback. And we understand that the counties probably aren't going to be signing off on either this or the actual flat fee structure contract until after the decisions are made at the county level regarding funding and such, but it at least gives them that opportunity to review and send feedback to us if needed.
This is Karen and Adegami. Just to note that in some counties, it doesn't go right to our committee. It has to go to our corporation council for review,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes to the county executive, and then it goes to the committee.
Yeah,
so there's
great.
A time lag there.
Yep. Yep. We great, Karen. We understand that. We'll try to get the MOU. The MOU could probably come a little earlier in some cases because it's not dealing with actual budget numbers. I'll again clarify, the MOU is meant to be kind of a broad overriding document about extension's relationships with counties in general, and the contract is really where the positions, programs, and dollars are spelled out. So thank you for that. Counties will approach that in a different way. We're trying to work through that as quickly as possible, and we understand that this adds more complexity as we move forward in the next couple months. So nothing more to add on that, but again, we're trying to solidify the MOU. Oh, the other piece to the MOU that I just wanted to add is I had a meeting scheduled yesterday, but it didn't. There was a cancellation, but we're working also with Lac de Flambeau and Brian Gochi and Emerson Coy to... we've done some revision of the county MOU to a tribal MOU, and we have two tribal contracts, one with Lac de Flambeau and the other with Forest County Potawatomi that are directly with Extension. Some of the others are also county contracts as well. So those will be worked through, and that may look similar to the county MOU, or it may be different depending on the feedback we get back.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, you want to talk about the meeting we had on Monday and where we stand on that?
Sure. On Monday, Carl and Heidi and Dave and I, as assistant deans, and the associate deans, Patrick and Julian Stawicki, met. Tricia and Nathaniel were also with us. But
And Julian Will.
And Julian Will as kind of the transitioning regional director team. But we met to review review all the vacant positions as we're looking at staffing and budgets across the state and try to prioritize which we're ready to begin the recruitment process within hopefully the next couple weeks, and which positions might require a bit more negotiation yet because and put into more of the next phase, the second phase of recruitment for implementation. And obviously some of these positions aren't going to be decided until after budgets are finalized and likely need additional conversations about, if a county can only afford a half-time position and whatever position title that is, might there be opportunities to share with a neighboring county to make that a full-time position, effectively a full-time position split between two counties. So many of those conversations are going to be much more complex and require more negotiation, but we did sift and winnow through all of the different vacant positions and begin to decide which ones are practically ready to go pending the finalization of the position descriptions and working with OHR in terms of the process, the new process is they're also trying to refine that aspect of their role in the Office of Financial Systems. So, Dave, what have I missed?
No, I think that's it, Matt. And we also discussed, while this is the first cycle of hiring, and we need to move this forward and hope to have some positions actually posted by late next month. We understand that things are constantly changing, and as soon as we get this kind of hiring cohort in place, then we need to begin building out the next set of priorities, because there were still a lot of positions that were high priorities that just weren't, there were some details that they just weren't quite ready to go right now.
Hi, Matt and Dave. This is Jenny in Sauk. I just wondered you know, what kind of, do you anticipate some needs assessments kind of preceding some of these hiring processes, or maybe some and not others? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say is people use the term needs assessment to mean a whole bunch of different things. And so Matt and I met with several people talking about how are we going to identify needs overall, communicate those to the programming units, and help inform both programs and budget allocation in the future. Right now, though, since we're in the middle of a current budget cycle, our needs assessment if you're going to use those terms, it's more of a market analysis. What positions do the counties see as highest priorities for their county, and what are they willing to pay for in 2018? And so those inform our initial rounds of hiring. As soon as we get through the county budgets in November, then we'll put in place a process that there'll be some broader needs assessment, both by the centers and institutes and the area extension directors, that inform work towards the next budget cycle. Does that make any sense, Jenny?
Yeah, I just think that I'm thinking of my own example, and I'm not sure that our county committees always know what the needs are in terms of which positions would have the highest priority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we hear that. I mean, ultimately, we know that there's a variety of levels of being informed and other types of things out there, and yet, at this point, you know, we've got about a month and a half before those counties pass the budget, and so it's kind of, you know, more of what are you willing to pay for in 2018 as we move forward. And they do, you know, I'm getting, talking to the administrators, I'm getting some, you know, as you're kind of pointing out, a lot of them know what they know, and they say, we really like this program, or we really see 4-H has the highest, you know, these visible things. And that's useful to know. It doesn't inform our total organizational direction long term, but it does inform our budget model right now.
Dave and Matt, Jay here. I have a question, and I don't know if there's an answer yet, but relating to the prioritizing refilling positions and presumably, you know, the internal search prior to the external search. I guess my concern, and I wonder if this is just part of the, you know, prioritization, is
my own. You're cutting out, Jay.
Here, I'm going to go to a better location. My concern is related to folks we already have on the bus, so to speak,
yep.
You know, our interim positions. And I'm just wondering if there's any priority for them because, you know, in a sense, I joke around and I say that, you know, we've been interviewing them for the last 6 months or a year, and we see that they're people we don't want to lose. So I guess my question is there any priority given to opening those positions where we have intern positions, you know, in that whole matrix?
Yes, that was part of the process as well, the consideration of trying to solidify those positions, and in some counties all we have is interims, so that did enter into our the conversation.
Thank you.
Can you clarify, when you're saying open positions, does this include those where there are people currently in them, or are these open positions where there is nobody sitting in the chair, period?
Well, in the case of interims, there might be somebody doing that programming. And in the position on an interim basis with contracts ending at various times, in other cases it might be a vacancy of somebody who's left anywhere within the last year.
Yes, Mary, I have an additional question. What about non-tenured people? The process that they're going to need to take, and how will that play out, and how does that relate to these positions?
That's something Carl and Heidi are working on, and I'm expecting they'll have information out on that further within the next week or two.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else about the vacancies? I mean, there's some pluses and minuses. On one side, you know, every position is important to somebody, and yet we can't, we have to kind of build an overall budget model, and so this is the first round, and I expect then we'll have a second round, and then as people transition into different roles over the course of the year, we'll keep going back to the table and trying to rebuild our capacity that we've been on kind of hiring freeze for the last year and a half, and we'll need to solidify and stabilize positions along with the new budget in 2018. Matt, anything else to add on the meeting? I thought it was very productive, and I thought it's hard to analyze all the details of every single position in the state, and I thought we were able to do the best that we could on that and start moving forward with some rebuilding.
Right, right, with some suggestions. And we know things are in a high level of flux with, I think the morning of, David announced that he had received two letters of retirement from colleagues that were taking that voluntary separation incentive program. And so those type of factors continue to trickle in and change the maps, so to speak, as we tried to capture at that moment in time where the vacancies were. Things continue to ebb. I think from a transparency point of view, the one point I'd like to bring up is if all of the counties continued to want to keep the positions they had in the old model, we wouldn't have the resources to be able to do that. I think as we look at the new funding structure, many of the counties have said they need to make reductions in FTE or maybe not refill a vacant position or whatever to make their county's budgets ends meet, so to speak. But And I think we're hopeful that we'll, because of those actions, we'll get down to the kind of almost matching perfectly where with our maximum FTE can be. But we're currently with the vacant positions, we're under that kind of that magic number. And if everyone continues, if all the counties continue to hope to budget at their full staffing, we may have to say no to refilling some of these positions. And that'll be an even harder discussion for us, for Dave and I, and I think for the area extension directors. But it does look like as we continue to have retirements and other things like that, and as counties are trying to make their budgets meet their needs, that hopefully we've targeted those numbers such that it's we're gonna found that sweet spot, so to speak.
If I might ask a question, if there are counties who budgetarily wise they do decide to keep everyone within the county because they have the dollars to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Will the state come back and say, that's nice, but we don't have the monies to match you on our side, and so you'll have to downsize even though you don't want to?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to say that would be unlikely, but we'd have to entertain those conversations. I mean, it might be that counties don't want to expand, in some cases, for example, our funding, fully funding 4-H program coordinator positions, and that's been a practice in the past. We really want to work with the counties to make it work for them. And I think, as Matt said, you know, it's kind of an iterative process. We're going and we're having budget conversations with the county. We're doing kind of the first go-round, and then it'll be refined as the counties approve and pass their budget. I think that it's going to ultimately balance out in the end, and that's our hope. But anyway, it does, these budget conversations and switching to the new model does afford us the opportunity to really have those specific conversations with counties, and I think overall they've been going quite well. I know that's not a great answer to a specific maybe scenario, but I'm pretty confident we can make things work with counties that want to maintain their people and continue their great extension programming. Okay. Anything else on this before we move on to the new work groups that were established amongst the AEDs?
So this is Bev Dahl, Dave. My brain is just thinking here because our committee yesterday we voted on our budget, and it was a long discussion, but it was brought up that they would really like to. We had in the budget for the 4-H program coordinator, which wouldn't have increased our budget, would have just a smidgen. But then they decided, you know, if we would like to have the full, so they upped it to the next level. And that, so just your comments alone make me concerned about that.
What do you mean by, can you describe what you mean by up to the next level?
So instead of just the 4-H program coordinator, they passed it to be, because they would like the 4-H and youth development component, and so they voted it in as the youth and family level yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. In many counties, the smaller resource counties, they've been, some of those have been doing it in a kind of a split because they recognize both the 4-H and the youth development needs, but they don't have the funding in order to have both. Matt would know more about that particular budget conversation, so I'll defer to him.
Yeah, so Bev, your county's done quite a bit of the teen court work and things like that, which would probably be more appropriate under that youth and families extension educator. I know some counties have even opted for, even though it's a full-time position, it's kind of like half the FTE is in the youth and families, half is in that 4-H program coordinator role. So some of the counties are trying to think creatively in terms of how they get that coverage and kind of match the true responsibilities of the position description with what the county needs are with a broader youth development as well as that community club program. So that's, I guess I wouldn't be too concerned about that change. It, we'll work through that.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the Area Extension Director work groups. Matt and I, and as Carl had communicated individually with each of the Area Extension Directors, the Area Extension Directors are rapidly, blossoming into their roles and identifying needs and issues that need to be addressed. And as leadership positions, they're in the spot to really assess and address some of these issues. We initiated this week. We initiated three work groups of Area Extension Directors, and these are pretty short timeline work groups. With the end date of around the end of September for recommendations and analysis recommendations, and sending this to the Matt and I and the Dean's Cabinet for decision making. So the first is around hiring and recruitment, and Matt is mostly connected to that group. I'll just let you summarize what their charge is and what they're moving forward with.
Sure. So as Area Extension Directors have been transitioning into their roles, and we have these new departments, the OHR, they're also trying to figure out their new roles and responsibilities. So we will be having conversations with them tomorrow. We have pretty much, I'd call it a half day, three quarters of a day meeting. They'll be part of that. We'll have an OPA present. We've got four or five different Area Extension Directors serving on that committee, but we'll be looking at that entire process, that recruiting process, the design and such, who's responsible for each of the steps, how is that budget and workload implication going to play out for the Area Extension Directors, as we're also trying to build the Area Extension Director budgets. It's going to be informative from the standpoint that I'm also trying to develop position descriptions for the OPA support staff that are going to be supporting their extension directors. And so as Dave and I have been having conversations with OHR, and they've been describing what they are and what they're more so, what they're not going to be doing in the future, we need to have clarity around that. We also have to then bring that to the rest, the remaining area extension directors that become hiring authorities and their new roles. So we just need to sift and winnow all of that information out so that we're all on the same page and have a common understanding in terms of that process. So that begins tomorrow. It's also going to look at some of these questions that came up earlier in terms of transition with probationary faculty, with interims. How are those processes going to work, or how can we contribute into those discussions with Heidi and Carl? So it's really seeking that clarification on these processes around that hiring and recruitment.
Okay, the second work group that had its initial meeting yesterday is around county office operations, and this is one that's all near and dear to all of your hearts. We've been talking about this for some time. There's a myriad of tasks that the county department had to do in the management and functioning of a county office, and our response is that we'll work with counties to figure that out. We know the processes are different in each county, yet there are some common concerns. How are people going to, ADs or others, going to interface with the county financial system? How are they going to supervise and or evaluate county-based employees, support staff? Do we need site licenses to access to county software, or do we even have access to that? And so a group has been put together to really map that out, frame that out, and come back with some options and recommendations as to what are some of the ways, the best practices or ways that we can best deal with the logistics and specifics of the county office operations. And so that's a short timeline. This one has a little more time than some of the others, again, because you're all as department heads on until the end of the year. And in most cases, in some cases, it's already transitioned. Still, we hope that this group will come back in, like the beginning of October, with some analysis, some options, and some clear recommendations of how to proceed in defining and detailing that out, given that we have a lot of different operational structures out there amongst the many counties and across the areas. So that's the second work group, and all these, again, as we develop these work groups, they're meant to do a pretty fairly specific charge in a relatively short time, and we're going to continue to use this as a process to develop recommendations as we move through the transition and the implementation of the model. So that's that piece. Matt, do you want to talk about the third one, the training and
Sure. So there was another group tasked, and this is because our next gathering for their extension directors is the end of September, and so we've tasked another small group of area extension directors to think about what that structure agenda looks like for that gathering, as well as identify some of those other priority issues and opportunities for professional development and aspects like that. So they had an initial meeting earlier, was that late last week, Dave? Or early
Monday.
Monday. So they've come up with many, many different topics and ideas, and they'll continue to be sifting and winnowing and helping assemble that agenda for their upcoming meeting and future meetings.
The other piece of that is that many of you and many of our other organizational structures have identified, the area extension directors would benefit from knowing about 4-H and its structure and its model, or about the local government center, or about the centers and institutes and how the budget modeling works. And so these topics are coming up on a daily basis, and we're hoping that group can provide a clear structure for addressing some of those updating, training, informational needs as they arise. And then the other one that we're talking about, and it hasn't been initiated yet, but Matt and I are moving forward with it, and this relates a little bit to Jenny's question. And we're talking about a group that kind of refines how do we assess and aggregate needs at the county and area level and at the center and institute level, and what do those processes look like, and what does that structure look like, so that it's kind of uniform across the area and it informs the types of programming that we need out in the counties. And so that one hasn't been initiated yet. It's still in the discussion stage, but Matt and I had a meeting on that yesterday, and hopefully that one will be moving forward as some of these other work groups start to refine their recommendations. Okay. Matt?
Just a quick update on the primary absence approvers. I'm trying to remember if it was a month or so ago. I met with Tara Barbosa, and we went through the list of department heads, and at the time, department heads were primary approvers for colleagues within the office, and we've transitioned all of that to the area extension directors. Dave and I serve as secondary approvers then for the staff pretty much across the state. So Tara's been sick the past several days and the last week and such, but I spoke with Sharika Mari in that same office, and it sounds like all of that's been done, and I've got high confidence in that, because as I'm looking at absence reports showing up on my computer now in my UW portal, I'm seeing all of those begin to populate. So I think shortly here we'll be able to get that communication out saying that department heads, that's one less thing on your plate. It may seem relatively minor, and we'll have more of those decision points coming down the road. But area extension directors should now be the ones signing off on those absence reports. So that's the update with that.
Matt, is that effective immediately? So the next leave next week?
Sometimes it takes a while to enter into the system. I know when we did some transitions in the Conrad program area, even though we had notified them, it didn't immediately show up until maybe the next month. So I guess I don't have a clear answer, but Matt, should they continue at least in the short term while we're in the state of transition, should they continue to check?
Well, I don't think those requests are going to be lost is the good news. So it may still be showing up on your computer just because of the time that it takes for it to transition. So I guess as department heads, if you're seeing your colleagues with those requests, you can sign off on that, but also know that if you don't, they're not going to be lost, and at some point, their extension directors, their pages will be populated with those. And if you are a colleague within the office and if you notice that they haven't been signed off in some time, that's when you should ask the regional director or the area extension director if they've had time to get on there and sign off on those, or if there are issues, let me know and I'll work with Tara.
Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome. Well, I think the last department head teleconference we had, the agenda was so tight we didn't have a lot of time for questions. Let's just kind of open the line up. What's on your mind? How are things going? And what questions do you have for Dave and I?
This is Karen Anadagimi. Could you remind me again, if we're on a six-month contract, who do we contact? Because we haven't seen our next 6 months.
Are you? So that came up yesterday in another county, and the county had forgotten that they're on a calendar year contract, so they didn't get that. They didn't need a six-month extension like some counties did. So that would be my first question, Karen. Otherwise, contact Chris Whalen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We've only been billed for 6 months so far.
Okay, so, yeah.
Okay, I'll check with her.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, this is Jenny again. I thought there was, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here. I thought there was some message about how there was going to be basically a kind of a redrawing of the contract for the rest of this year to kind of bring us back to even for any county savings that the county may have accumulated. Is that ringing any bells, or am I way off in left field?
Not necessarily a redrafting of a contract. So the counties are about 70% or so of the counties have been on a fiscal calendar year, July 1 through June 30th. And so those counties received a six-month extension, which most committees just signed because the county budgets are full and, you know, complete or known until the end of December. So most of the committee signed off on those and returned those right away. The counties that were on a calendar year already were not impacted by this change, but part of this new model is shifting all of the state staffing contracts to a calendar year to align with the counties. And
right.
It seems like feedback and such has been very positive. Counties
right.
counties
no,
appreciate
I,
that.
No, we're on a calendar year. But I know that usually there's a credit from last year that gets carried forward into the next contract.
Yep.
So will there be any additional credits added to this year's contract?
So that reconciliation will be completed at the end of December, early January, after all the costs are known. And the county will get a credit regardless of if you were on a fiscal year and you have the six-month contract or if you were on the calendar year. The Office of Financial Systems will be calculating those reimbursements and getting those back to the county, and that'll wrap up the 133 contracts then, and we'll be on the new contracts at that point.
What will that look like? Will it be a check to the county? Will it be a credit on our new contract?
Jenny, it's my understanding that will be a check back to the county because the new contract, we're starting the new contract fresh, and there won't be any rollover reconciliation. They'll be reimbursed.
They could expect basically a check for that credit or that reimbursement sometime in early 2018.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay.
Any other questions or thoughts?
When will the position descriptions be coming out for these positions that are on the county level, center level, institute level? When are we going to see those positions that better describe what the job titles that have been communicated in the last big document in June?
My hope is at least the county-level position descriptions will be available soon. We need them to be finalized soon so that we can begin the recruitment process. I know we've got a couple positions that the county is asking to have posted immediately. So those have been they were drafted by myself, and Dave provided input. They are currently in the hands of the associate deans, and I think those are pretty much done and just need some minor refinement. So we're very close with those. The institute directors and center director position descriptions, I think those are still in the works, Dave. Maybe you know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think that they're still I'm still reading and trying to provide some input in, and I think they, once they're fairly solidified, they go to OHR for one last look just to make sure all the HR language is intact. But we're pretty close, and we understand the urgency in getting those out.
This is Tricia. I can chime in just a little bit. That's exactly right, and we have the position descriptions will be in the hands of HR in the next 2 days. For review, and then we can, once we get we just want to make sure we have all our the details finalized before we can share. But I do hope in the next within the next couple weeks we can get those out so others can see them too.
And Tricia, I believe the hope is to have much more of a standard template format, and where the counties might contribute is providing some input into maybe what the content specialization or degree requirements might be.
Yeah, so you're right. The first round of position descriptions really get to that level of more programmatic level, like youth and family, the way that we've described some of those original positions. When we get down, and all of you would recognize this readily, is when you get down to the individual counties, they're going to have a more focal area of need. And so that's why we don't, you know, those are going to be the more kind of template for those general positions. So we have agriculture, youth and family, communities. Those are what HR is working on, will be working on this week. Then once those are finalized, they can be, and we start into the recruitment process, that will go to the committees to help and to the counties that can offer a bit more input on those specializations that they need for that hiring process in particular. So that's the next step. Obviously, we don't have a, you know, there's each PD is going to be tweaked just enough so that they have that focal area.
One piece of information that as I was having discussions with OHR yesterday, they're changing a few things, and one thing they've been asking for, will be asking for, and maybe this will come from their extension director, although I think department heads or even office staff can feed into this, but they'd like to have a paragraph for recruiting that really highlights, you know, or would draw applicants to have a, you know, greater interest or want to learn more about the county, about the position. So they're going to be asking, one of the questions that will be asked in the near future is put together a paragraph that kind of frames, you know, some of those inviting aspects of the county, of the position and such, so that can be built into that recruitment plan. So just some food for thought. That'll be a little bit different from the past, but once that's done, I mean, it could be refined if necessary, but once that's done, that'll be kind of the template that they use for, you know, whatever county is being recruited for. So more information on that to come, and we'll be discussing that tomorrow as well as part of the small Area Extension Director group. Other questions?
Yeah, I've got one. If a non-tenured person is currently in a county position, is that position going to be opened up for recruitment? In other words, is the non-tenured person going to have to reapply for their position?
We're going to be working with more of those decisions tomorrow as part of that Area Extension Director group. As Carl said, I would anticipate that we're going to try to do as much as possible to keep these recruitments at least internal at first to minimize competition, and those details still need to kind of be fleshed out with OHR. I know OHR is really looking at the comparison between what the position description was of the person that's currently in that position and what the new position description, if there is a change, what that new position description looks like. And then with that information, better decisions can be made related to, again, I can't remember if you said it was if it was an academic staff position, moving into an academic staff position, if that can be, if that can just be done as kind of a transition or sliding the person into that, or if there needs to be a recruitment, but internal first before we'd consider going to an external.
Okay.
So are you presuming that any non-tenured staff in any position, those positions are going to be offered up for internal recruitment?
Those details are being worked on right now, and so it's too early to presume anything. Information should come out shortly. I know that's one of Carl's highest priorities to work on that.
Yeah.
What happens if it's a faculty member in youth development and the position that the county has chosen to fund is a 4-H program coordinator position?
Faculty members, one of the last decisions that was released, faculty members would retain their existing position description. Long term, then that might have other implications. So the fact that what the county is deciding to fund doesn't really change anybody's position description at this point in time, particularly faculty position description. But that opens the door for conversation to what that looks like in the future, and it's very difficult to talk about a particular situation, in a broad context.
Yeah, I'd say that's been probably the most common question asked, related to faculty, and then the decision that the county's making in terms of when that position transitions into the new model, and a faculty member has that opportunity to stay in the county as long as they do, their position description and faculty status remains with them. If regardless of what the county identifies as a position moving into the new model, when that faculty member retires or resigns or accepts a different job, that's when those discussions start. It isn't trying to transition faculty responsibilities into the new model system with a 4-H coordinator or a youth and families extension educator responsibilities.
Is there a threshold that is somehow identified for people who are looking at transitioning, and I should say tenured faculty, not people, are looking at changing their position in the coming year, like from either upping their position or changing from one program area to another?
So can you tell me what you mean by threshold? I'm not sure I understood fully the question.
Sorry. So I've heard that if the position function or position description, which, that's changing too, changes significantly, that may invalidate the assumption that tenured faculty can stay in the county doing what they've been doing or doing what they want to do.
Yeah, so from the HR perspective, the threshold is if a position, I think the threshold is if a position description changes by more than 50%, it needs to be posted. And so that's the HR perspective, and they would make the ruling as far as whether the position is changed by more than 50% or not, or if it's substantially the same duties. From the faculty and the faculty governance perspective, though, we have an organizational commitment to tenured faculty. So those are kind of two sides of the coin, looking at it from two different perspectives. So if, for example, a position change more than 50%, and HR says, well, if that's a different position, it actually needs to be posted in the future. The organization still has a commitment to that tenured faculty member and to find an appropriate role. So that gets the discussions then get more nuanced.
Thank you for answering that.
Okay, it sounds like we're winding down, and a few people are dropping off. Matt, any parting comments to the people on the line, the department heads?
No, Dave, you and I were just having a real brief conversation about maybe the need for this teleconference to continue, and maybe this is an opportunity for department heads. Do you still see value in this? Should we look at hosting this again next month? Should we wait a little bit yet and kind of see how things continue to sort out? Any thoughts from you as department heads?
This is Tim Kane up in Bay Hill County. Why department head this line is scheduled at the same time as the Bay Hill County department head meeting. So just let you know that.
Okay.
They meet at 8:30 in the morning on a Wednesday after a county board meeting, and which coincides with your 9 o'clock meeting here. So.
Thank you for that, Tim, and I think that's a big... We try to record these so they are available afterwards as well.
Appreciate it.
Yep. This is Connie in Portage County, and I think the loop signs are very helpful. I feel strongly that they should continue because, for example, transitioning time and staff timesheets, you know, those are relevant things that will keep occurring. And especially now that budgets are heating up pretty fast and things are moving fast in the county.
Mm-hmm.
This is Debbie in Lincoln County, and I would agree with Connie. I think these are very helpful to help department heads be supportive to AEDs as this transition is occurring. It's helpful to know what's going on the AED side, and it's difficult you know, to do that on a regular basis without having this kind of set time for the WIS line, so I find it helpful.
I would agree. I think that they need to happen. There's only a couple more months left in the year because chances are this won't happen in December being a holiday month, so you only have September, October, and November left. And considering the position descriptions are not out yet, there are still a lot of questions that staff have, and as department heads, we are said that we are still supposed to be doing our roles until the end of the year.
Right. Thank you, Shelley.
Yeah, thanks to all of you. This might be a biased sampling because it's the people who actually joined us on the line today, but I think Matt and I can certainly see a need for sharing information with you and having these conversations as issues change and as issues come up.
You know, here I am at the fair putting out lock cards, and I'm still participating. So, you know, I think it's kind of important.
Yeah, greatly appreciate that. So we will we'll plan on continuing, and we'll share whatever updates and information we can and that we have available to us at that time.
Have a safe and enjoyable Labor Day weekend.